Welcome to the Road to Fueling Better podcast, hosted by registered dietitian Laura Kilkline
and dietitian in training Gina Santinello. We created this podcast to debunk diet culture myths, share evidence-based nutrition strategies, and empower you to live your fullest life without restriction.
We want to help you make informed nutrition decisions that fit your goals, whether it's optimizing your performance and recovery in the gym or simply learning how to live a healthier lifestyle.
We believe that the key to health and fitness success is to build a solid foundation of sustainable habits that support your goals. This not only includes behavior change, but more importantly, mindset change.
Together, we've helped hundreds of clients end the yo-yo dieting cycle, improve their relationship with food, hit endless PRs in the gym, and acquire the skills to optimally fuel their bodies, all while enjoying their favorite foods.
We hope that you enjoy this podcast.
If you want to learn more, follow us on Instagram at balance.fueling
and apex__nutrition. Episode one.
Here we go.
We're starting it. We're doing it.
It's official.
We've been talking about doing this for a little while now, so we're now putting it into action and getting it done, and we're really excited.
Definitely. So our first episode, we really want to just have everyone get to know us a little bit better, and so we've set up a few rapid-fire questions and just hope to talk a little bit about what we do in the nutrition field.
Yeah. So before we get into the rapid fire questions, let's talk a little bit about like what a dietitian is, what we do, and what we kind of have to go through to get there.
Yes. And it's a lot of hoops to jump through. So a registered dietitian, or RD, is considered the nation's nutrition expert. And becoming a registered dietitian has a lot of training and qualifications that goes into it.
So I mean, it's a lot of school to get there. I don't think people really realize how much schooling and how hard it is to actually become a registered dietitian. So to become a registered dietitian, you need to earn a four-year bachelor's degree, and then you need to go on to something that is called a dietetic internship, which is
very competitive,
very stressful.
A 50% match rate for that internship, so very competitive, very stressful.
And like you said, match rate, like I feel like we need to kind of emphasize, you don't get into multiple programs. You get matched to one program or you don't get matched at all. So it's kind of, it's a stressful day. That match day is very stressful.
Yes, definitely.
So once you're matched, though, you're in, you then complete a 1,200-hour dietetic internship, and that's all supervised.
Unpaid.
Unpaid, 40 hours a week.
Yep.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Taking it all in.
Yeah. And with that, so you already went through your dietetic internship. I'm in mine right now. There's different concentrations within the internship, and each internship is a little bit different. So my concentrations in my internship are going to be a clinical rotation, a food service rotation, a community rotation, which is what I'm doing with Laura, and a sports nutrition rotation, just to kind of get you used to all of the fields in nutrition. What did your rotations look like?
Yeah, so pretty similar. Doing food service, community, clinical rotation, and then I had several shorter week-long rotations going through, again, just different parts of the field. So everything from dialysis to long-term care. We also had an elective week where we got to choose. And yeah, it's essentially getting you experience or insight in all of the different things that a dietitian can do, because there's really a huge variety in the field.
Yeah. I don't think people really realize how wide of a field dietetics is. So then after you're done with the internship, then it's the big RD exam. So, I mean, you took it, so you can talk a little bit more about that.
I did.
I haven't taken mine yet.
And before, I guess after the internship, before the exam is studying, which essentially you complete this grueling internship, and then you have to continue to put all the pieces together and study for this exam. And
how long did you study for? I know people who study for like months before.
I studied for, I want to say it was about 2 months, and I set that up so I wasn't studying all day every day, because I just knew that wouldn't work for me. So I think everyone's different in terms of what works for them, but I wanted to give myself adequate time to study. I think I rescheduled my exam date back. I did that once because I didn't feel ready, and then sat for the exam, which is at like a testing center, and you find out right then and there, which is great. At, you know, right at the end of the exam, they essentially give you a printout of your score, and I think it's, I don't know if it's a 25 to pass. I can't remember. It's all a blur. But
I want to say it's 30, I think. I'm not positive.
I don't know. I don't know if it's that high, because I feel like I got a 20-something.
Maybe it is. Exam. I don't know.
I passed. Anyways, you get the printout, and you know, you pass, you find out if you pass or fail right then and there. And luckily I passed on the first go, and definitely then you can officially consider yourself a registered dietitian and put those credentials after your name, which after the several years of work and tears that go into it, it felt awesome.
Yeah. I can't wait for that day to come.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
You're getting closer.
Oh, I'm so close. I'm on the last step. But so they're starting in 2024 that you need a master's actually to even sit for the RD exam.
Yes.
So yeah. that's an add-on. So now you're looking at 6 years of school to become a registered dietitian. It's not an easy process. It's a lot of work because there's a lot of work that goes into nutrition. I think that people really think that nutrition is this black and white picture, when in reality, it's not. It's a very complicated, science-heavy topic.
Yeah, and so everything from your core nutrition classes, which you'd expect, but also anything from anatomy and physiology, chemistry, which I know we've talked about a little bit.
Bane of my existence.
lots of tears for that class. Also things like learning about even just psychology, sociology, because nutrition is so ingrained in our daily lives. It's, you know, you do have to learn all of these different topics in addition to those core nutrition topics. So there is a lot of training that goes into it. And again, I think we like to talk about this because of how many people out there maybe think they know a lot about nutrition, but they really don't have the training or credentials or experience to back up what they're claiming.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, these days you have health coaches, nutrition coaches, weight loss coaches, like you name it, there's a coach for it. And that's a little bit scary considering you can get a weekend certification and call yourself a nutritionist. And I mean, a weekend certification compared to 6 years of school doesn't even compare.
Yeah, so big difference.
Huge difference. So I think that it's really important to, you know, look at who you're getting your nutrition advice from. Do they actually have like educational background in nutrition, or did they just go through a quick weekend cert and qualify themselves as a nutritionist?
Exactly. And I think for most people who are struggling with their nutrition or have any kind of health issues that they're looking to get some help with, making sure that they're seeking advice from the right person who, again, is qualified to be giving them that advice. So for anyone who might be listening and is interested in working on any type of nutrition goals, we definitely urge you to work with someone who has experience and training in the nutrition field. So just an important topic that I know we're both.
Yeah.
Both big
because
on.
We can also say that if you like wrong nutrition advice can do a lot of harm mentally and physically. Like, nutrition is so much more than just, like we said, like what you eat. Like, it has a huge mental effect, physical effect, and you just want to really make sure that you're not doing more harm than good in the long run.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But now that we got through what exactly an RD is, let's get into getting to know us a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah. Here we go.
So we came up with a couple of rapid fire questions. We'll just kind of go over that before we get into more, you know, more about us and what we really do.
More about us and our nutrition experience and what we're doing now in the field.
Yes. All right. So let's start with nutrition questions. Our all favorite.
Right. Rapid fire.
What's your favorite vegetable?
I'm going to go with peppers.
Raw, cooked?
Cooked.
Color? Do you like any specific color?
I like a mix.
Okay.
And if it's like peppers and onions together, even better.
Fire.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of green peppers. I actually hate green peppers.
Yeah.
And I don't like cooked peppers, but raw peppers are
good. The move with a little dip.
Yeah, a little dip, a little laughing cow.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Or tzatziki or hummus.
Yep. All about it.
I would say my favorite vegetable is, I've been like really into Asian medleys lately.
Nice.
I just buy these like frozen Asian medleys. I like the little corns.
Yep.
And like all that. So I've been really into like that combination lately.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been good. What's your favorite fruit?
Ooh, this definitely changes depending on the season, but the staple has got to be bananas.
Okay.
For me.
Yep. Do you eat a banana every day?
Most days, sometimes twice a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Twice a day, despite the bad reputation that bananas get. So we're here to tell you that bananas are okay, even if you have two a day.
Every day.
Good energy, good fuel. I love bananas too, but I get on like kicks too. Like you were saying, it changes every so often. And right now I'm on a blackberry kick.
Nice.
I just can't get enough blackberries.
Yeah.
They're so good.
We're right in the midsummer time where berries, peaches have been great too. It's prime fruit season right now.
I love fruit. What's your go-to dining out meal?
In terms of like breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or
let's say like you're going out to dinner, and what's like, do you have a go-to
order
that you usually order?
Ooh, this is tough. I usually steer towards seafood. Again, we're in Rhode Island, hence the road, the play on the road to fueling
better.
Yeah, we
never really talked about
that. I know. So we're in Rhode Island, which is the smallest state in the U.S. and essentially surrounded by water. And so we have some of the best seafood.
Yes,
love seafood.
Definitely.
So probably 9 times out of 10, I'm going to get a seafood dish, whether it's, you know, fish, lobster roll, scallops are probably my favorite.
I love scallops.
I'm all about that.
I'm with you. I'm seafood all the way. I don't think I ever order like a not seafood dish when I go out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big salmon. I would say salmon or scallops is my go-to. So good. What about, that brings us to our next question, seafood or land food? Like, what's your...
Seafood.
Yep.
All the way.
Me too. I mean, do we even live in Rhode Island if that's not the answer?
I know.
Yeah.
I've talked to some people who, you know, they say, oh, I know, I don't like seafood, and
I don't understand.
In New England, that's kind of, a shame, a waste, I guess. But, hey, everyone's different.
Yeah.
But seafood, definitely, it's hard to beat.
All right, getting into sweets, chocolate or gummies? I feel like this is a big controversial question. Everybody has, like, a strong stance.
Yes. So, and essentially my answer has been the same my entire life. And I'm team gummy all the way, like a weirdo.
Like, hey, there's a lot of
Sour Patch.
Yep.
The Starburst, or there's something called Mambas, which are, it's like a Starburst, or Lifesaver gummies, even something like those fruit snacks. I'm all about it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm definitely team chocolate. Like, give me all the chocolate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what about a chocolate covered gummy? How do you feel about it?
I don't know about that.
Because they make those.
If I want chocolate, I'll go for the
chocolate. Yeah.
But usually I'd say 85% of the time I'm going to reach for
the gummies.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about pasta or pizza?
This is a very easy one for me. Pizza.
Yep.
All the way.
I'm with you.
It's...
No question.
I think it's the best food there is. I mean, is there anyone who does not like pizza? I don't,
and if there is, like...
Are you okay?
Yeah. Do you need to talk? We're here for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely a pizza fan all the way. I don't even really like pasta, which is kind of crazy because I'm Italian and everyone's like, you're so Italian and you don't like pasta. And I'm like, I don't. Pizza is where it's at. What's your go-to pizza order? Like, what would you get
So usually we do like half and half just for some variety. It depends on where we are. Everything from like a chicken bacon ranch to like a Mediterranean veggie. If a place has something with like the fig prosciutto combination.
Oh, yeah. That's a good combination.
That's hard to, that one's hard to pass up. Usually with like goat cheese or something.
Yeah.
Like Barcino has that.
Really. I've never actually eaten at Barcino, but I wanted to.
You gotta.
They have good fig pizza.
Yeah, fig prosciutto.
Fig prosciutto.
It's very good. So, yeah, we mix it up, but we make pizza at home probably once a week.
Really?
We get the, it's a local brand here in Rhode Island, Pizza Gourmet, and they have a restaurant in Providence, but they sell pre-cooked, like, shells that you can essentially put your own toppings on, and then you can grill it or put it in the oven.
And talk about, like, a way to make a nutritious pizza. I feel like, you know, people oftentimes look at pizza as, like, a very unhealthy meal, when in reality, you can make pizza pretty nutritious, depending on what you add to it. So
exactly. And again, pizza, yes, you know, it depends on how you make it. So with those crusts that I mentioned, they have a regular white variety. They have a whole wheat variety. So usually I'll get the whole wheat just to get some fiber in there.
Yep.
And then essentially you put whatever toppings you want. So you can do something like a marinara sauce with any kind of veggies you like, you know, some kind of protein. I'll do like either grilled chicken or turkey pepperoni.
Oh, yeah. Big fan of turkey pep.
Any kind of veggies, usually mushroom or peppers or spinach. And also what we do a lot is like a pesto base.
Okay.
So we do pesto base with like tomato, mozzarella, and balsamic at the end.
That sounds so good.
And on the grill,
oh,
it's amazing.
So good.
Yeah.
Now I might make that for dinner tonight now.
Yeah.
Let's just bust the myth real quick that cauliflower crust is better, because it's not.
No.
Like,
you don't
get a whole
need,
wheat crust.
Yeah.
We don't need cauliflower everything. And honestly, the cauliflower crust, if you compare, you know, calories and nutrients on a cauliflower crust compared to a whole wheat crust, usually cauliflower has more calories and more fat and more carbs a lot of the time too, because of the stuff that they put in it to like bind it and make it.
And it's not even as good. So
at all. Falls apart. So yeah, we don't need cauliflower crusts.
No.
Let's end that fad right now.
Yeah.
What about ice cream? What's your favorite ice cream order?
Oh, I actually have been, we were talking about this last night, because I haven't gotten a real ice cream cone yet
this summer.
And that's, for me, that's the full ice cream experience.
Yep.
So my favorite would be a waffle cone.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start there with black raspberry ice
really?
Cream.
So you're one of like the fruity
type.
Oh,
and again,
like
with
the
gummy thing, I would also be big into like sorbets and stuff.
Yeah.
Or like I would get, as a kid, cotton candy flavor ice cream. Like I was just.
You're one of those.
Yeah. But black
I'm
raspberry.
Like, who gets these? And it's you.
Yep.
You
it's
get
me.
Them.
That is me. And however, though, sometimes I would get like a black raspberry with chocolate sprinkles or jellies.
Right, so at least you got some chocolate on there.
So a little chocolate.
Yeah. I would say mine would be a waffle cone with the chocolate, like, hardened
covering.
Chocolate.
Yes.
That's, like, on the top with chocolate ice cream or some sort of, like, brownie, like, some sort of chocolatey ice cream. I like
staying on
it
brand
up.
With the chocolate.
Oh, all chocolate. With chocolate sprinkles and like whatever else that there is chocolate there, like put that on top too. Like nice. There's no such thing as too much chocolate. Too much.
Yeah, I agree with that. If I'm going chocolate, I want all the chocolate. All the way. Yeah. That just reminded me, I grew up in Barrington and there's a ice cream place called the Daily Scoop and they make their ice cream there.
Probably so
and
good.
And they had a flavor apple pie.
Really?
And it was a vanilla base, but it was like loaded with, I don't know if it was like cinnamon or caramel and like apple chunks yeah. and like crust, like pie crust yeah, chunks.
Yeah. Oh, probably so good.
That was really good.
Because I love apple pie, so like put that into ice cream.
Yes.
Probably a great combination.
That was amazing.
What about, what foods do you dislike? We just talked about all the good foods. What are you like, nah, I'm all set with that.
Okay, so this is funny because you said you didn't like green peppers. One of them is the mini corn things that you mentioned.
Really? Like,
they creep me out. I'm just like, what is this?
I don't know what it is, but like, I love it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I thought about that too. I'm like, what is this and how is this? Like, is it real corn? I don't know.
I think it's just baby corn, I guess. And they I love
haven't, like developed
regular
the cob yet?
Corn, yeah. Or just a different, you know, variety. But it reminds me kind of like play food when you're like a kid. Like
yeah,
the
but it tastes and like it's crunchy.
I know. Maybe I'll come around.
You should just try it.
But I have a few, they're mostly vegetables that I just can't do. So beets is another one.
Oh, I
just
beets.
I can't do it. They
have
just
you
taste
like
dirt.
Had them and you just don't
yes,
like them?
Yes, and I you want to. Like all some like there's the golden beets. Those aren't as bad. Like they're like yellowish.
I've never had those.
So those are doable, but I definitely do not enjoy them. Peas and green beans are another one.
I hate peas also.
I can't do it.
Yep. I do like green beans though.
Yeah.
So, but peas, no. I can't do it.
Okay, so we agree
on
that one.
We agree with that one. Okay. Yeah. I would say that the foods that I dislike would be peas. I also really hate mussels.
Okay.
And I want to like them so bad because, like,
I can get,
they
I
smell
can
good.
Yeah.
I just can't get past the texture or the taste or, like, I just hate them. There's not many foods I don't like, and I think that honestly might be, like, the only one that
yeah.
I really don't like.
And it's funny, we're talking about phases with like fruit. I've gone through phases where I've loved mussels.
Yep.
And if I see them on the menu, I will get them every time. And then I'll be in a phase where they kind of skeeve me out.
Yeah.
And I know they have to be fresh when you order them because it's just, you know, makes
one of those foods
difference.
That need to be, yeah.
And something, like, they have to be cleaned properly.
Yep.
And I feel like I had them once where, like, they weren't cleaned and it just
threw
you off and I'm kind of scarred.
Yeah.
So I have not been on a mussel kick for probably the past 3 to 4 years.
Really?
But was on a huge one prior
but
to.
But it always takes that, like, one thing
yep.
to happen and then you're like,
I'm done.
This is ruined for
yeah.
me.
So yeah. will I come back to them? Time
we'll
will
see.
Tell. Yeah.
We'll see and
tell.
We'll keep you guys updated
yeah.
if it happens. All right. Next question is if you could eat only fats or only carbs for the rest of your life, like which one are you more apt to go with?
Yeah.
Not saying that we'd ever cut either of them out, but if
yeah,
it was
luckily
like.
Luckily, we don't have to choose.
No, we don't.
But
like which ones do you like more, I guess?
Honestly, I usually, I love fats, like cheese.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But I guess thinking long term, I just know that carbs, like not having enough carbs just literally drains your entire soul. Energy.
And you're not a
physical
nice
energy, mental energy, just ability to, whether it's actual performance like exercise or just completing any task, I need carbs. So practically carbs is gonna be the answer.
Carbs is the answer. Yeah. I'm definitely team carbs. Like not even from like what they do for our body, not even from that standpoint, but I would rather eat, like I just like carb sources more than I do fat sources. Like I'm not a huge cheese person. Like avocados are fine, but they're not like my favorite. But carbs, like there are not many carbs that I don't like.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Potatoes.
Potatoes, oh. Yep. White or sweet?
White.
White. Regular. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Nothing compares.
Yeah, and I feel like that's another one. And we're going to go through, we're going to be doing like myth busting episodes, but like real quick myth bust is that white potatoes are just as nutritious as sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
And I think that they get like such a bad rap for whatever reason. I don't even know how, but like nutrient wise, they're very comparable.
Yeah.
So if you like the white potatoes, eat the white potatoes.
No need really to switch. Good. Yeah.
No. What about, what's your favorite cuisine? Like Mexican, so like, Italian.
Okay. I also would say I kind of go through phases with this, but lately Mexican. I've been on such a kick. I've been saying like my COVID meal for like quarantine and just cooking at home. You know, I'm working from home now, so I make most of my meals here, and I've been on like a quesadilla taco kick. Yep. And I do not get sick of it. I really don't.
I find I don't really get sick of Mexican either. I love it. That's my favorite too. Mm. Mexican.
And it goes well with tequila. So
it does. We were just talking about that. Yeah, Mexican is where it's at. I love the chips and salsa, all the tacos, quesadillas, yes, burritos, like all that stuff. And then let's go to some non-nutrition questions. Let's start with, what's your favorite, where's your favorite vacation spot? Like, do you have a place that you go to, like, you know, yearly?
So,
or?
Yeah. So, I guess I'll give one U.S. and then one international. Yeah. So, in the U.S. or more locally would be New Hampshire specifically. We usually go up to Lincoln.
Yep.
So, Eddie, my husband, has his folks have a condo up there by Moon Mountain. We love to ski in the winter, but even just in the summer, it's fun, relaxing. You just get up there and you just automatically feel better.
Yeah. And I feel like I was talking about this with Matt, the other podcast that I was on.
Yeah.
Like, New Hampshire is just so different than Rhode Island, but it's really not that far away.
Exactly.
But it's like Rhode Island is like all ocean, and then you go to New Hampshire and it's all mountains. So you feel like you're in and a green, total different place.
Yeah.
And you're really not. You're only a few hours away.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and it's fun. Every season, you know, if, I mean, do you ski?
No, I've never skied before.
Oh, we're going to get you out there.
I know. I want to try it. Just like haven't.
You'd be good at
it. Done it.
Yeah.
I'm down to try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and you know, you hit the lodge and
yeah,
that's fun too.
Yeah.
But yeah, then in the summer, like you can swim, hike, bike, whatever. It's a fun,
like always something to do.
Fun spot.
Yeah.
And so, that's definitely the spot more locally. Internationally would be Jamaica.
Yes.
Been there twice now. Yep. Definitely going back. Went there on my honeymoon, and just the beaches, the people, the food, everything. It was amazing.
Good. Yeah, I've been there once. I went there on a spring break in college once.
Nice.
It was fun though. But I would say along the same lines, outside of the U.S., I love like all the islands. I've been to a lot of the islands down there, and it's just...
What's your favorite island?
I would say... Aruba.
Okay.
Aruba's like way down there, and it's so hot, and I loved it. I went like years ago. I went with my dad, and it's nice. Have you been there?
Haven't. No. Yeah. But I've heard good things, and I know you can kind of go off and like explore a little bit.
A little.
I know casinos are big there, I feel like.
This was years ago. This is like before.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's,
I just love like all the islands.
Oh,
they're
yeah,
all just like Puerto Rico, the Bahamas, Jamaica.
Yeah. I want to go to all of them.
Yeah.
I think. So our next trip, we want to switch it up, but Jamaica is always going to have a special
place.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah. And then I would say in the U.S., so I like New Hampshire, like you said. That's probably one of my favorite local, like more local places to go. I also really like Arizona. Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
It's like so random, but like it's out west, and again, it's just like a different scenery. You have like the
and it's mountains,
cactus,
right?
Yeah,
different,
it's like
different mountains, like rock.
Like red mountains.
Yeah.
And it's like a dry heat. So I went out there with my best friend a few years ago, and we like hiked around a bunch, and it was dry heat, so you don't really sweat, and your hair doesn't get like super frizzy. You're just
I would definitely thrive there then.
Yeah, it was definitely recommend going there.
All right.
What about siblings? Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, so I have two older brothers, and so they definitely helped me be tough and went through, you know, was the brunt of tackling, wrestling, you know, backyard football back in the day.
Toughened you up.
Definitely. And I think, you know, played a role in just me getting into sports and stuff because, you know, my parents had all the equipment. So I was like, all right, well, you're playing too. You're playing this sport. It's probably why, you know, got into ice hockey. And I was just a huge tomboy as a kid. I would.
Well, growing up with two brothers, I feel like.
Automatically just kind of sets you up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how about you?
No, I'm an only child, actually.
All right.
But I did have two imaginary friends growing up, if that counts.
Makes sense.
Big Rocky and Little Rocky.
Stop. And they weren't, like, it's almost like I've heard of people having, like, a pet rock.
No,
maybe
they were.
Maybe it would make sense if it was, like, a rock friend.
Maybe.
Named Rocky.
But I, like, picture, like, I know what they looked like. Like, I'm telling
you. And
they're
human?
They were human, and they were, like, I'm making myself sound like a weirdo right
maybe
now.
Maybe you had, like, a past life.
Right? I'm like, you know, they say that. They're like,
I believe in that.
I know. So they were like the same exact thing, except one was big and one was little. And I used to literally like take them everywhere with me. I used to get mad at them and like send them to my aunt's house. And then I'd call my aunt and ask if they were there.
Wow.
I'm like, oh my God.
So
like,
when did this end?
I don't
last
know.
Month when it, or no?
They're still here. No. Actually, they're right here.
They're chilling.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when it ended and like, I don't know, power to my aunt for going along with it, I guess.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty crazy.
Oh, man. That's funny.
But yeah, only child thinks that's what happens when you don't have siblings. You have to, like, make them up in your head.
I can imagine that. Yeah.
But I have lots of cousins who are basically, like, my siblings. My cousins and I are really close, so I'm lucky to have
that's cool.
Have them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite pastime activity? When you're not working, what do you like to do?
So, I guess, I mean, like, going out to eat is just, like, the best thing ever.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's kind of a typical answer. The first thing that came to mind, actually, was, like, sitting in front of a fireplace. Or, like, a fire.
Yeah.
Like, we do fire pits in the summer and then, like, you know, a fireplace in the winter.
You can make s'mores on fire pits.
Just, like, I feel like pastime, that's, I think of something like that. Just, like, sitting in front of a fire, just talking, listening to music. Yeah, s'mores.
Yep.
I don't know. And, like, yeah, every season, it's something. I'm always asking my husband, like, can we do a fire tonight? Can we do a fire? It's like,
cause
no,
it kinda
it's,
works,
like
in the summer
outside.
And the winter. Like, it works.
Yeah. But nice. It's always a good time.
I would say I like have a very hard time sitting still. Like I can't sit through movies or shows. I'm so bad at it. So I like working out. I like going for walks, like going for hikes, like anything that just has me like moving.
Yeah.
I can't sit still for the life of me.
So. What's the biggest hike you've done?
We did Mount Washington.
Oh man. That's a big one.
Oh my God. It was crazy. We made it like a quarter of a mile from the top and like, so on Mount Washington, the weather can change like the flip of a switch. And that's what they told us. Like, everybody was like, Mount Washington, it has the highest recorded winds of like 200 miles an hour or something like that. But that happened to us. We were super close and all of a sudden it was like 75 mile an hour winds.
Oh, that's
there
scary.
There was snow up to our hips. It
Stop.
Was crazy.
Oh my goodness.
So we ended up having to turn around because it just wasn't safe to go back like all the way up. It sounds so close, a quarter of a mile, but when you're going from like Karen to Karen and you're not going straight up, like Karens are the little piles of rocks.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They're the little piles of rocks that you follow like on a hike.
Okay.
To not get to stay on the trail and not, get lost. You know, you're doing that. It's way more than really like a quarter of a mile because you're not just walking up. You're like going back and forth a million times to get up.
Right.
But, I grew to really love hiking within the past couple of years, so I always like finding new places to hike around and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's so fun.
Yeah.
We always say, like, oh, we want to do hikes, and then I feel like the season comes and goes, but I have... Mount Washington's on my
it's
list.
It's fun. We should do it.
I would
it's
need
a lot
some...
of fun.
Well, maybe some training, but...
No,
I think
you'll be
could,
fine.
Yeah.
It takes... I want to say it's usually, like... an 8 to 10 hour round
hike
trip.
Yeah.
So it's, you gotta pack the fuel for the day. Like, you don't go up there without snacks.
Oh, and like, I have meals a story and... for you about that. So we did, this was probably like 5 years ago now. We did, it's Mount Hancock in New Hampshire, and it's a one of the 4,000 footers.
Yep.
And we went, it was, you know, me, Eddie, my brothers, and my dad. And we packed, we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. And we packed, you know, like a protein bar, a water or two. My dad, who is the one who planned the hike, brought, I kid you not, finger sandwiches. Like mini sandwiches. No. I think we each had like one or two.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were all adults and fairly tall, and it was like we were out of food, you know, halfway up the mountain or something.
There's nothing worse. And
it was, we didn't really know how long the hike was, so it was just like, are we there yet? You know, and then we were out of food, so then everyone got super cranky. Yep. And we're just
hangry,
you know, yelling at each other, and then
in the middle of a mountain.
Yeah, so it was, there's like a video of it somewhere, and it's actually hilarious, but
to look back on, not in the moment.
Yes, in the moment, not so fun. Got lost on the way down for a little bit, but we made it out of there and like went to a pizza place and just, we were just toast.
Ate all, because yeah,
we did not have the fuel.
Nope. And that's like one thing that we, so when we hiked Mount Washington, we went with a friend who is very experienced in hiking. And yep, she really emphasized like, we are bringing, you know, snacks and meals and like convenient things, but you know, like a lot of calories we're gonna bring, because it's 10 hours of constant moving and climbing up a mountain and down.
Yeah.
I mean, it requires a lot. So if you're hiking any big mountains, bring more than just a protein bar. Like, bring
actual sandwiches. Do not underestimate
sandwiches. Yeah. Sandwiches, wraps, apples, you know, things that can like withstand definitely being in your backpack. What about, what is something, and this is a question that I feel like, you know, it can be kind of uncomfortable because people don't like talking about, but like, what is something that you're good at? For some reason, people feel like weird saying something that they're good at. Or like, what's something that you can say that, I don't know, you're confident in?
I mean, I feel like this is kind of a boring answer being a dietitian, but I feel like I'm pretty good at cooking.
Okay.
Just, and I'm not one to follow recipes, but to almost just kind of get creative and like wing it.
That eye. Or yeah, like that. Yeah.
Just kind of eyeball stuff, wing it, throw something together, and then, you know, it's like, oh, this is really good. And then I try and recreate it, and I usually can't make it as good as the first time. It
never will taste the same.
But yeah, I mean, my parents loved to cook when I was growing up, and I had a few jobs in the, like, kitchens and stuff. I actually thought I almost went to culinary school.
Oh, did
instead
you? So I mean, same kind of field a little bit.
So yeah, I would say I'm a decent cook.
All right.
Yeah.
Something that I'm good at, I would say,
running.
I'm good at, I don't know why. I would say that I'm good at following through with things. Like when I set my mind to something,
yeah,
like I get it done.
Yeah.
No matter how much I'm doubting myself along the way, like the marathon, the half Ironman, it's like, if I want to do something, I'm going to get it done.
Mental toughness.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say that I'm pretty good at that. So. Yeah.
I know. I think when I met you, I was like, were you in the military? Yeah, like you just had that
drive. Yeah, I don't know where
it came from.
Yeah, it just happened over time.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it's a good skill to have.
Yeah. No, it's not bad. Sometimes I'm like, Gina, you gotta calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like it. So let's get into some questions to kind of get to know us a little bit more and, you know, like what really got us into the nutrition field and kind of our experience in the nutrition field. So where did you go to school for undergrad? Where did you do your DI, dietetic internship? And what was your favorite rotation? Talk to us a little bit about that whole experience.
Yeah, so I went to the University of New Hampshire for my undergrad. So I am a Rhode Islander. I grew up in Barrington, went on to UNH, studied dietetics there. And then after that went on to, it was actually a combined master's and dietetic internship program at URI. And so I graduated from UNH, started that program, that fall, and it was sort of that combined program. So the first year was my dietetic internship, where, you know, going through all those rotations and doing, I think, some coursework, but it was definitely lighter. And then year two was your master's thesis. And so that internship, I know we were talking about how internships have their own kind of focus area. So my internship was a research-focused internship, just being combined with a master's thesis. So that was year two. And I did my research on, it was a community intervention for childhood obesity prevention, and it was geared towards parents of young children. And that was in Providence, pretty much around, you know, nutrition education, healthy behaviors, parenting practices, stuff like that. So I really liked it, actually. I liked my project, and it was grueling, but it was a really good experience.
Worth it, though.
Yeah, came out the other end.
Yes.
So I finished that in 2016, and luckily was able to, then I, you know, studied, took the exam, and officially became a registered dietitian, and that was, oh my gosh, the feeling.
Oh, I can't, like I said, I can't wait. It's so gotta be close. Such like a weight off your shoulder. Something yeah. You worked at for so long.
Yeah, and it was almost kind of like, oh, this
now
is
what?
It now? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's, but no, it felt awesome. And so I was lucky. I got a job fairly quickly at, in the clinical space at, Kent Hospital, where I did my clinical rotation there actually. And so I worked as a clinical dietitian there for, 3 years before I really got into private practice. And so I liked clinical, but in the hospital you really can't educate patients, you know, I guess optimally. Mm-hmm. Like you only really have a few minutes, and they're not feeling well, and their people are kind of in and out. And so I, you know, that's part of what really led me to start my own private practice and wanting to work with patients more one-on-one and in this setting where they can actually make changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I feel like, in a hospital, I know like when my grandmother was in a hospital, and this was before I was, even back to school for nutrition. She was in the hospital for having a heart attack, and she did not like the food. It was super bland, obviously that low sodium. And we would bring her in like other meals and salt to salt the meals. Like, so I feel like people in the hospital, like, don't necessarily always listen, because it's like they don't want to be there. They don't really want to see you. They don't really, for the most part, I feel like, want to hear what you want to say.
Yeah.
And it's like a diet that they have to do for their health, but that they don't want to do.
Right.
And we would bring her in a salt shaker to salt her food.
Yeah.
After they were like, you should be on low sodium.
Yeah.
We're like, nah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. So. Yeah, it's just not the best setting for nutrition education. Again, like people are, you know, it's a hospital, so people are either not feeling well or they're anxious about whatever's going on, or a combination of the two. And 9 times out of 10, they're not eating enough because of whatever's going on. And so it was really for me seeing people and not being able to be thorough and get through to them because it just wasn't the right learning environment, or wishing that I could have met this person, you know, decades ago.
Yeah.
And been able to work with them one-on-one to, you know, really change their lifestyle earlier on in life when it makes all the difference.
And that's kind of, I mean, what you're doing now. And we're going to get into both our nutrition practices a little later, but kind of essentially what we're both doing now is working with people to prevent them from needing to ever go in the hospital.
Exactly.
And that was actually something that one of my professors said to me in college was, like, we are not doctors. We're not going to be doctors, but we could be the reason that someone may not need to see a doctor.
Yeah.
And it totally stuck with me because it's so true. It's like your nutrition has such an effect on every aspect of your life.
Everything.
And is contributed to like 90% of chronic diseases out there that can be prevented with proper nutrition. So I think that, you know, it's so important to really educate people on the importance of proper nutrition, not only to, you know, lose weight or feel good or whatever, but also like for your health in the long term.
Prevention. Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, just general health prevention. It's so important. And I think some people don't even really know that dietitians exist.
I didn't before I went back to school for this.
Yeah.
So answering the question, I went to school at Salve for my undergrad, and I graduated in 2014 with a degree in psychology. And then I kind of like hopped around, like, what do I want to do? I was thinking nursing, physical therapy, something in the healthcare field.
Yep.
Went back to school at URI to take prerequisites for physical therapy, because a lot of the prereqs are the same, very science heavy. So I was taking the sciences, and I had a friend who was in the nutrition program there, who I met in one of my prereq classes. And I was like talking to her about it, and I said, all right, maybe I'll just get this degree in nutrition because it is super interesting on the side of getting the prereqs for PT. And then come to find out, I learned all about, you know, what a dietitian is, how to become a dietitian. These classes were like super fascinating. So I kind of ditched the physical therapy idea and ran with the nutrition idea. So I graduated from URI in 2020. And then took a year off just to kind of gain some more experience. I didn't have too much experience, so I kind of did some, like volunteering and some other internships and stuff. And I'm starting my dietetic internship this month with you. You're my first rotation.
Yep. Week two.
Week two. Almost done. We're almost on week three. That's crazy.
I know.
And then I'm also at the same time getting my master's in applied exercise science, with a sports nutrition concentration. And that's through the Concordia University Chicago. It's online, so I can kind of, I mean, it's a lot doing my DI and my master's, but I'm just reminding myself that it's temporary and it's worth it to grind through it to just get to the end.
Exactly.
So, yeah, as you were saying, though, there's different concentrations in the internship. And I'm most excited, I think, for my sports nutrition rotation just because like, that's my jam. I love sports nutrition. So... yeah, I'm really excited for that. I'm hoping I have that one next. So
yeah,
we'll see. Exciting we'll keep you guys stuff. Posted.
Yeah. And I feel like it's cool to hear about Gina and my experience in terms of, I feel like my experience is kind of the typical
traditional,
you know, went to school for nutrition, right off the bat and immediately into the internship, RD. And I think just like knowing that there's not really a right or wrong way to do it. And then you know, I think it's awesome. You have the psych background because it connects so well
psychological.
To nutrition. They go hand in hand. And then what you're doing with your master's of, you know, combining the exercise component too.
Yeah.
Just gives you such well-rounded experience and perfect for sports nutrition.
Like
psych, exercise, dietetics.
It's like all related, but all different.
Yeah. No, so it's awesome. And I think, too, even the benefit of taking a year off, like, A, just to cool down from the school thing because it's intense.
It is.
It's a lot.
It is. And that was all during the pandemic, too. So it kind of...
Good timing.
It, like, forced everything to slow down. It was like I was so go, go, go with school and everything. And then it was like school ended, pandemic started, and it was like... Well, now what?
Right.
But I mean, it was definitely needed, I think, to have that time to, like I said, gain a little bit of experience and really like take the time and just to go back in it 100%.
Yeah.
You know,
I know by the end of my, you know, internship grad school experience, I was very stressed, burnt out.
Yes.
And so, you know, no regrets, but I do think a year off can be really valuable for a lot of people. Just mentally, you can still do other things to build your resume and then have more energy to then
get
go
into.
Exactly.
Definitely. So let's talk about a little bit about, we both own nutrition businesses.
Yeah.
And, like just let's talk about a little how we started them and when we started them and just a little bit background on that.
Yeah. So, all right. So I'll start. So I, again, was, working in the hospital in the clinical space and I never really knew, you know, I wasn't like, oh, I want to start my own private practice, but it was really just being in the hospital and, you know, again, like I said, wishing I could get through to people, you know, work with them more on one-on-one in a different environment. So that was just kind of something in the back of my mind. And I actually got involved with a gym, Fitness Together. It's a personal training gym. And I actually started by being an employee of the gym and seeing their clients for nutrition coaching. And again, you know, I would meet with them in like, you know, a office space and talk through their nutrition goals. And at that point, it wasn't my own business, but I loved it. And so the days that, you know, so I would do that on my days off from the hospital. And I found myself just looking forward to those days the most. And it was just so fulfilling and I enjoyed it. And so I was like, I'm really onto something here. And the gym owner, you know, was super helpful and, you know, was like, you should start your own business. And I had no idea, you know, what I was doing.
That always, that's how it all starts, yep, though.
Maybe I had a little, you know, entrepreneurial spirit. My parents owned their own business when I was a kid. They owned a grocery store, actually.
Oh, nice. So you've always been in the food.
Food biz. Yeah. That's it. And so I just kind of went for it. You know, I Googled starting your own business in Rhode Island and just went for it. And so I officially started Pivot Nutrition LLC in January 2019. And
how did you come up with the name?
So I wanted something that was kind of had like a dynamic, like movement, like,
yeah,
because I did like the sports or just kind of active component, you know, working with active adults. I was, again, working out of that same gym space. And I think change is a big thing with nutrition coaching. You're helping people facilitate changes, whether it's, you know, behaviors, mindset, whatever.
Definitely.
So I wanted a dynamic name.
Yeah.
And so I just went for it and like stayed up late one night, like making my website and just kind of was like, yeah, I guess I'm just going for it. Yeah. Like, we'll see what happens. And so then it kind of evolved. I was in Newport at the time, actually. So rented some space from local kind of gym spots there. And then I ended up coming to Warwick. And then I went back to renting space in that Providence gym, Fitness Together, where, you know, I'm still technically based out of that gym today. And so I was lucky in that my clinical job was part-time and I was originally flexing my hours up. So once private practice got, you know, as that grew, I was able to scale down the clinical hours and eventually go per diem.
Okay.
And that's where I'm at today. Although COVID, you know, threw a wrench in the works where, so since March 2020, I've been fully virtual doing all either video chat or phone call appointments. Yep. Which for the most part has been great. You know, people like it. It's more accessible, convenient. And so I'm again, still per diem in the clinical space. Although I'm thinking that private practice, you know, again, I love it. I love what I do. I love working for myself. And so I'm not looking back at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome how it all kind of like transpired into where you are today.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. So again, like, it's interesting. We have two completely different routes here. So I started my business, Apex Nutrition, in September of 2020, in like the midst of the pandemic. I knew that I always wanted to have a like my own practice. And it was just kind of a matter of when. Like, do I wait until after I become an RD? Do I, like, what do I do? I had been helping a couple friends as it is with nutrition. And at my old gym, the owner of my gym put me through like some nutrition certs while I was going back to school for nutrition. So I kind of nutrition coached some athletes at that gym. So I kind of had a little bit going and it was just kind of like, all right, when am I going to make this a bigger thing? So the pandemic started. I had just graduated and I was like, what else is there to do?
Yeah.
So I just literally started it. I like spent maybe a month putting the website together, getting, you know, all the behind the scenes business stuff together. Yep. And I launched it in September. So it was formerly known as Nutrition with Gina because I just kind of had like no idea what to name it. I was like, let's just go with this. And then over time I changed it. I changed it maybe, I don't know, 2 months ago or something. Cause I wanted like you, like a more like dynamic name, something a little bit more, I don't know what the word is, you know, like broad, like, so I went with Apex Nutrition. I got that because, so my logo is a crown.
Yep.
I had that with my Nutrition with Gina, and the crown signifies my grandmother who, she was like my bestie of all times. And she, I used to always take her to get her hair done. That was our thing that we did together. And her hair was always just like flawless.
Yep.
Always prioritized looking beautiful. And one day she said to me, we were in the hospital. This is like at the end. And she said, she got her hair done by one of the staff at the hospital. Yep. And she said, your hair is your crown. If your crown's a mess, you're a mess.
Yep.
And I remember just like loving it. I was like, and she was the matriarch of my family. Like she was the queen. So crowns just signify her in like every which way. So I was like, this is going to be my logo. So when I switched my business name, I still wanted the crown. So I was like, what name can I do that's kind of related to a crown? And then, you know, the apex of a crown.
Yeah.
So I was like, apex meaning like the tip of the crown, I can keep my crown, and also like reaching your peak, like reaching your highest potential.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what led me there.
I love it.
And yeah, it's been awesome. I don't think that I personally ever want to go into clinical, but I guess that's gonna, I'll see when I get into that rotation. That's a great thing about the internship. You kind of can go into different rotations and see what you like.
Yeah.
But to me, I think that working private practice along with maybe working for a sports team, like collegiate or like professional would be really cool. And kind of doing this too. I mean, you just have so many options as an RD. I don't think people really realize that either.
And that's,
there's so many things you can do.
That's the best part. And also the best part about, or one of the best parts about, you know, owning your own private practice is you can do it full time. You can do it, you know, you can do it part time.
Your rules.
You can do whatever you want. So yep. If you do want to have a part time clinical role or, you know, something else, you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
You know, and make it your own.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's what we're both doing. And it's, I think we both agree that, that's, you know, we're happy where we're at.
Yeah. Definitely. And it's nice too, you know, having each other, like we both run our own businesses and like we're on the same page. It's, we're not competition for each other. We support each other and we can, you know, like go side by side and still both own nutrition businesses, which is really cool.
Definitely.
So it's also, you know, nice to connect with people who are on the exact same wavelength as you when it comes to nutrition, because you know, there are so many different
ideologies out there. It gets kind of polarizing, or, you know, kind of people think, oh, my way or the highway type of thing. And I think we always, you know, both come back to, which really is what dietetics is about, is evidence-based nutrition.
Yeah, what does the science say?
Exactly.
That is always going to be more important than
opinion.
An opinion.
Yeah.
Always. Or,
exactly. So, and that's, I think, what we were talking about more in the beginning of why it's so important to work with, you know, a dietitian or, you know, someone who has the appropriate training, because otherwise people just think, oh, what worked for me, you know, I'll just throw this, you know, one size fits all plan because that's what worked for me and that'll work for all the people that I'm helping, and that just doesn't work.
That's far from the truth.
Yeah. So we're definitely on the same page in terms of, you know, things that nutrition should be personalized and individualized, because we're all just so different.
We're different and we also have different goals.
Yeah.
And you should choose your goals. Nobody else should choose your goals.
Define them for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you choose your goals and then we work on how to get there.
Exactly.
You know, there's no one route. There's no one goal. It's, everything is individual. when it comes to nutrition, which is what makes it so
cool and exciting and fun. Like, it's never the same.
And that's what I see in, like, you know, private practice a lot, is every single client is different.
Yeah.
Like, everybody has their own goals and ideas and
struggles, things that work everything. For them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I know, like, along that same point, there's, you know, if you ask any given nutrition question, the answer is always, it depends.
Always.
Because it depends on, again, the person, their goals, their lifestyle, everything going on. And people out there that don't take that into consideration, you know, it's just not smart dietetics practice. And so, again, we're on the same wavelength. And, you know, this podcast we came up with, we did like a brainstorm for ideas for episodes, thinking like, all right, we're going to have to come up with ideas. Is this going to be tough?
And really, we're only going to get a few.
We probably have like 50 ideas.
Yeah. We probably have a good like 6 months easy worth of topics to go over. So it's exciting. We have a lot of fun stuff to come with this. Let's just hit a last question. Just so both of our practices, I would say that mine is specialized in sports nutrition as well as some lifestyle. I feel like you're kind of the same for the most part.
Yeah, definitely. So everything, I think, from, you know, athletes, like, so really sports nutrition focused, whether it be, you know, runners, weightlifters, you know, high school or college athletes, to then just kind of your everyday active adult, or just someone who maybe isn't active.
And we work on that.
But they're wanting to be more active, focus on nutrition. So I think, yeah, we kind of have the same approach there.
Yeah. So, you know, regarding sports and athletics, what is your background in, you know, sports and athletics? Like, what sports did you play growing up in high school, college? What kind of got you interested in the sports nutrition field?
Yeah. So I grew up with, you know, two older brothers, so sports every day, again, backyard football, just playing on bikes, everything. So when I was really young, I kind of did what, you know, played every sport, like the soccer, the basketball, the t-ball, whatever. I had a skateboarding phase, I skied growing up, so I did a little bit of everything. And then in high school, I played field hockey, and then I played ice hockey, and then I played lacrosse. My parents made me play a sport every season.
Yeah, that was good, though.
To keep me out of trouble, I suppose. Field hockey was new to me. Ice hockey was really my main sport. My brothers played growing up.
And you
up.
Still play that now.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, I stay up with it. Super fun.
That's awesome.
I started playing, you know, I don't know, when I was 4 years old, like the youngest you can be.
Yeah.
And played up, you know, played with mostly like, you know, boys teams with, there's like, you know, a couple girls on the team. But stuck with that. And in high school, luckily, Barrington had a girls hockey team.
Nice.
So that was super fun. That was really my main sport. I only did lacrosse for 2 years. I hated it. I just couldn't. It was, the love
not for
was
you.
Not there.
Yeah.
But stuck with field hockey. That was pretty fun. And then I think, like most people, kind of got to college and I wanted to focus on more of the academics. And so I didn't really play sports in college. Just tried to stay active. And it really was, I was actually in grad school kind of wrapping up that my MSDI, and was really out of shape and was like, I need to kind of find something new. I need to fall in love with exercise again. And that's actually what originally got me connected with that gym, Fitness Together, was reaching out to work with a personal trainer.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and it was exactly what I was looking for in terms of, you know, knowledge around strength training. And I would say, you know, for me, that's my sport now, is strength training.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love strength training.
Running,
teams.
You know, now with this mile
there.
A day.
You're
you
getting
know,
there.
Getting there. So yeah, how about you? What was your history?
Yeah, so I, did every sport in the book when I was little. You know, being an only child, I think that was my parents' way of being like, go do something.
Yep,
like,
yep.
Get off get my out. Back and just go.
Leave little Rocky and you. Big Rocky behind. They can't go.
I probably brought them. I don't know. Yeah, so I played all the sports as a kid. I was not great. I was not, like, an athletic child at all. Like, I was the one, like talking on the soccer field while yep. everybody else was, you know. But then in high school, I played soccer my freshman year, and then I did track for the rest of it. And I really did track just to, like, do something. I wasn't, yeah. like, a star track athlete. I ran, like, the 2 mile because I sucked at sprinting, and the 1 mile, like, I wasn't good enough to run the 1 mile. And yep. the 2 mile just for, like, the people that are, like, it's a long, slow distance run. Like, let's...
There you go.
So, yep. I did that, and then I went to college, and that's where I found CrossFit. So nice. I found that at the end of college in 2013, I think it was, and then became obsessed with that. And I did that for about 7 years until about 2019, I think it was. I went and got my CrossFit level 1, and I coached for 2 years. And then I just was always having, like, back injuries because – I have some herniated discs, and, like, CrossFit is intense. Lifting fast and heavy. Yeah. So that just didn't do great for my back on a recurring basis. And me, I just kept pushing through it because I wanted to keep doing it because I loved it so much.
And the mental toughness.
Just, yes, exactly. You, yep. And it was, I couldn't ever put the ego aside. It was always like, all right, I'm just going to go light today. But then, you know, I get there and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go heavy. And then I'd, like, blow my back out
yeah.
and land in the PT. Ugh. And so it just... and then it was, you know, a final back injury that I was like, I'm going to take a little bit of time off and just do, like, a rehab strength program. Well, I ended up, like, falling in love with this rehab strength program. That's just pretty much weightlifting, and it's, it was made by a girl who used to do CrossFit and, like me and, like, anybody else kind of got beat up with it and then kind of had to transition out of it. So it has a little CrossFit spin to it. It's got, like, some kind of endurance-y things, but it's kind of more, like, slow, heavier lifts.
Nice. A good transition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that ever since. And then in 2020, I signed up for a marathon during COVID and trained for that, did that, and then, you know.
Did that.
Did casually. That.
Did you do a half before?
I did do a half
okay,
before.
Okay, I was going to say, like, just to
so, yeah,
jump
I did,
right into
like,
it.
5Ks, and I did then a 10-miler, and I was, like, yep. on top of the world after the 10-miler. And I remember being like, this is an amazing feeling. Like, I just ran 10 miles. I think I can do anything. I ran, like, a couple more 10-milers, and then I signed up for a half marathon. And I didn't train a single day for that half marathon, and it killed me. Yep. And I remember being like, I'm never doing a marathon. Like, I can't fathom doing double this. Like, I will never even do a half again because I didn't train for it. I deserve to feel that way.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit, and my friend Matt put this idea in my head. He was like, I'm training for a marathon if you want to do it with me. And I was like, sure, why not?
Oh, man.
So I signed up for the marathon. I trained for, like, 26 weeks for it, and it was awesome. And then at the end of the marathon, about 2 weeks before, when we went up to the White Mountains – I was with a friend who we were looking online. I don't know how it came up, a triathlon in the White Mountains. We found this triathlon, this half Ironman, and, like, 2 weeks before my marathon, I was on that, like, marathon training high.
Yep.
We signed up for the half Ironman.
Nice.
Which was just this past June of 2021.
Okay.
So, yeah, I trained for, like, 12 weeks for the half Ironman. I don't think it was enough, but it was enough to make it work. But, yeah, so I kind of have, like, a lot of endurance background as well as strength training background. I kind of, like, you know, can't sit still.
A good mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little bit of both.
It's good to have a good mix.
Yeah.
You know? So was the marathon more fun than the tri or vice versa?
I had a lot more of an enjoyable time training for the marathon than I did the tri just because – like, the marathon, you know, I was running 3 days a week, and I was still strength training 4 days a week. I was able to kind of keep my routine.
Yep.
I'd have, like, one very long run, and then the rest were either tempo runs, hill runs, shorter runs. Like, the tri training, I had to reduce lifting because I'm tri training 6 days a week. And it was also, you're biking, swimming, and running. Like, that's not something you can just do. You
yeah.
have to set aside hours to do the training. You know, it's like, because a lot of it were brick style. So brick style is when it's two workouts back to back. So you would do, like, a bike run.
Okay.
Or, like, a swim bike. It's two of the like events back to back. So you're looking at like 2, 3, 4 hours of training. And it's just very, it was just like very more coordinated.
And yes. Yeah, yeah.
And you can't just, like I said, it's like if I went on vacation or something, I can still go run 10 miles. I can't, if I'm going biking, somewhere, swimming, it's like biking, yeah, swimming, you can't just do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a good experience, but I would say I'm probably done with the tries.
Yep.
And I could probably see myself maybe like next aiming for like an ultra marathon.
Oh my God. How long is that?
Anything over 26.2.
Stuff.
So like a 30. Like a 30.
Okay.
Like I wouldn't, don't think I'd do like one of those 100 mile ones. Yeah. But I just like, you know, chasing what's next. So, oh my goodness. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of. I can't imagine. Yeah. But hey, you're starting with the mile a day. So maybe we'll get you there.
I did the 10 miler. Yep. And okay. I did not really train in a smart way. I think I got married the month before and then we went to Jamaica on our honeymoon, didn't train there.
Yep.
And I finished, I think I was like a 10:28 pace.
Yeah, which that's
like,
not bad at all.
I was disappointed at the time. And now I look back and I'm like, that was good. Pretty decent for not
training at all.
Taking it super seriously. But I crossed the finish line and I was like, I'm done. Like, I am not craving anything more. But I think now, I'm kind of starting to.
Yeah, I think we're going to get you there with this mile a day. We've been running a mile a day. I've been doing it. This is my 60th day. And Laura just jumped on.
I started on the 15th.
Ago. Yeah.
I did skip 2 days. I'm going to be honest. Right, but my first day I ran 3 miles. So
that, if it only worked that way.
Yeah, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm showing up.
Yeah. And that's all that you can do. But I will say that like, because, you know, when I ran my first half marathon, I had the same feeling. I was like, hell no, never again. If you take the time to train, it is a whole different experience. Yeah. Like, I took marathon training super seriously. And, like I said, trained for 26 weeks, never skipped a training day, like, was dedicated. And it was, like, your body really does become conditioned and can do things much more efficiently than if you just jump into something untrained.
Yeah.
So I will say, like, if you are ever interested in doing a long run, like, take the time to train for it because it's going to be a way more enjoyable experience.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I think even with the 10 miler, I was such a newbie, just like, you know, I brought gels with me that day. I had never tried them before.
Yep.
I probably didn't eat enough. Like, I did not know enough or, you know, nearly as much as I know now about performance nutrition.
Yeah, so it's huge.
I think that in and of itself would have made a huge difference. And I think knowing that and knowing about training kind of gives me a little bit like, all right, maybe I'll do a half or I think 10 miler again and then, you know, see what happens. I'm gonna try and beat my time.
I'm going to get you to do.
And then we'll see. We'll see.
That's how it starts. You start somewhere and then it just expands. You got to keep
going.
Like if you told me on my half marathon day that I was going to do a half Ironman, I would have thought you were the craziest person.
Yeah.
But it just happens.
That's how it works.
Keep growing that growth mindset that we were talking about.
Oh, we'll be talking a lot about that. A lot about, you know, performance nutrition. Again, anything from just, you know, your kind of day-to-day active adult going to the gym or, you know, like more intense, you know, training, whether it be strength, endurance, you know, and everything in between.
Yeah, so there's a place for nutrition in literally every aspect of life.
Definitely.
But I think that kind of wraps it all up. For
I know.
Today.
But we've got lots to talk about.
Oh, we have a lot to talk about.
So stay tuned, everyone.
And if you are kind of new to this podcast and new to meeting us, you can follow us on Instagram and we'll be doing polls to see what you guys want to hear.
Yeah.
So, you know,
ideas.
Yeah. Give us all the episode ideas, reach out to us, send us a DM, give us a follow and let us know how we can better help you. So my Instagram handle is apex_nutrition.
And mine is balanced.fueling. So check us out, give us both a follow and we've got lots of fun posts and stuff to follow along with and stay tuned for more episodes to come soon.
Awesome. This was so fun.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Woo.